Hey friends, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm Angela Donadio, and each week I share compelling conversations with leading voices. They encourage us to ground our worth in the word instead of the narrative of the world. Together, we'll make our lives matter no matter what. Here's this week's episode. Well, hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. And it is Father's Day week, so I am really excited about my guest today. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, including my own husband and my dad. And what a special day. We thank you, men, for all that you do. And so I know this conversation is going to be wonderful for men, but it's going to be great for anybody. So lean in and listen today. And here's kind of the question that I want to throw out first. If the burden of life feels too heavy to handle, maybe could it be that we are carrying something we were never meant to carry alone? Well, Joelle Malm is the founder of Summit Leaders, where he uses outdoor adventures and leadership coaching to help people find their calling and pursue a vision for their lives. His expeditions have taken him around the world, and you know we're going to talk about that in a minute, to places like Mount Kilimanjaro, which I climbed about a decade ago, the Grand Canyon, Machu Picchu. He's traveled to over 70 countries on 6 continents. We'll have to ask him which one he still needs. And he speaks 3 languages. He holds a BA in political science and an MS in counseling. And he's a brand new book called Keep It Light. And we're especially going to see how this is going to be such a blessing to fathers and dads, men and leaders. So Joelle, welcome to the Make Life Matter podcast. I'm really honored to have you here today.
Thanks. It's good to be with you.
All right. So before we get into dads and all things Keep It Light in your book, I've got to ask about all your adventures. I'm an adventure junkie. I haven't been to 70 countries, but I travel a lot. And I climbed Kili about a decade ago. So tell me how this kind of came part of your passion and how you really lean into this as far as how you coach leaders.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was going to college, and the year between my junior and senior year, I went and climbed Mount Elbrus. It's in Russia. It's the highest peak in Europe. It's actually in Russia, but it's considered the highest peak in Europe. Hmm. And while I was on that mountain, I ended up not being able to make it to the top. We got caught in this blizzard. And I just remember having this moment in the blizzard where I realized I didn't want to go to law school. This is what I wanted to do. I want to take people on outdoor adventures around the world. And I felt like God gave me a real vision to help people. A few years later, my friend Mark Batterson, he nailed it. He said this is the formula. He says, change of pace plus change of place equals a change of perspective. And so I got a vision to do that. I didn't have the formula in my head. Mark nailed that one. Later, when he came with me on one of my trips, he's like, this is what happens here. I was like, that is what it is. And so my goal has always been to change of perspective. And usually when you get out, challenge yourself a little bit, get out of your comfort zone, that tends to happen. And I've found for me, the best place for that is in the outdoors. So some of our trips are really challenging. Others aren't quite as challenging. Maybe they're challenging for, you know, everything's challenging at a different level. But that's what we do. And we do all sorts of different trips. And it's been really fun. That eventually kind of morphed. I couldn't travel as much when my daughter was born. But that eventually kind of morphed into doing a lot of leadership coaching. I had a lot of leaders come on my trips. And they're like, man, I spent 9 months preparing for this physically. And God did something in my life. Do you have any kind of a spiritual follow-up for this? And at the time I didn't, but it kind of morphed into doing a lot of leadership coaching. And now that's kind of my thing. I coach a lot of leaders, and the outdoor adventures we still do those, but most of my stuff now is more in depth with people in coaching. So
I love that. I've hosted Mark on the podcast. He's a friend of ours out here in the DC area. My husband and I pastor in DC. So and several leaders went with us on Kilimanjaro. I mean, it will teach you a lot, whether things you didn't even anticipate. Same thing happened with us. We had about 10 of us that had severe altitude sickness. We went a little bit rushed because some were biking down. And so we had to kind of adjust our pace to be a little quicker than we maybe should have. And so that cost a few of us a summit. But I had my own personal summit at about 16 something feet, and it was still an extraordinary experience. Which continent have you not done out of curiosity? Antarctica would be my guess.
You got it. Yeah. It's on, you know, I had an opportunity last year, but I started, it was going to be a 14-day trip. And as I talk about in the book, I've just really had to realign a lot of my priorities. As somebody who loves outdoor adventure and being gone, I've really felt a sense of shift that needs to happen, that I need to be home more. So it's been kind of a bummer for the outdoor adventures, but I know that in the end, you know, Lord's going to open opportunities. And what I'm doing right now is the most important thing. So Antarctica, it's still out there, but I, I'm gonna wait till I can bring my daughter with me, and
Oh, I
if
love
I'm gonna be,
that.
if I'm gonna be gone 14 days, I want to make sure they're with me. So yeah.
Is that just the shape of that particular adventure? Because I've looked into it. I think I've been to four continents so far. My husband's been five. So I've explored the idea of all seven, but you got to really mean to be in Antarctica. It's not, you're just going to land there. You got to plan this whole thing.
Yeah,
You know what I mean? It's not
well,
like, well,
it's
while
not
I'm over there,
cheap.
I'll just stop by Antarctica.
Yeah, it's not cheap, and you have to be going there. And it's you fly first of all to this tip of South America. Ushuaia is where most of the boats leave out of, and just getting there. I was in Patagonia last year, and just getting down there is a 30-hour process.
It's hard, yeah.
And then from there, you take a boat, and the boat's like 3 days of the crossing, and then it's 7 days cruising around and then 3 days back. So, I mean, by the time it's all done, you're gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, easily.
So, which before my daughter came along, that was nothing. But we used to joke, my wife, sometimes she didn't even know where I was at. One time she hadn't heard from me in for like 4 or 5 days, and she's like, huh, usually he calls by now. So she had to get on my website to see where I was. She
Oh,
was like, oh, he's in the Grand Canyon. They don't have service down there. So,
no. Exactly. And that's another
before my
piece of
daughter
it.
came along, it was like, yeah, whatever. He's where he needs to be. I'm where I'm. Yeah. But now it's a whole different ball game. So.
It's so funny because for the dads and fathers that are listening, when we had our first child, my husband was a Harley Davidson. He loved his Harley Davidson. And I was just so nervous, Joelle. I was like, oh, I don't know if I want you to keep driving a Harley when we have a child. So he gave it up. I mean, I heard about that for a while, but he doesn't regret it now. But you're right. I mean, your priorities change, your life shifts. It's a season you go through. It's the same thing with moms or dads. You just got to
Yeah.
make adjustments of where you are and things that mattered most. Like we're leading a team. We just came back from leading a team to Greece, my husband and I. But next year, that same company asked us to be the spiritual leaders for a team to Egypt, which really wasn't on Dale's radar, but I'm really drawn in by all the adventure parts of it. But he was raised as a missionary's kid in Alaska. So he's done the whole adventure thing for his whole life, 18 years, and some of the ro most remote parts of where he could literally see Russia from where they lived in one spot. So, but the spiritual dynamic is so important too. And I love that you're bringing that in because we'll be teaching on Moses and Joseph and the women of, that time period when we're there. So it's never a one-dimensional experience when you travel. It gets you out of your comfort zone, like you said. It's important. I encourage so many believers just do some form of short-term something because it's going to
Yeah.
change your perspective. It's going to widen your horizons. It's just going to do so many different things. So we lead a lot of short-term missions trips, and sometimes it's just straight up, well, Kilimanjaro was we were raising money for clean water. So we were putting in water wells in some of the Maasai
Who
area.
did
So
you
there
go
was
with for that?
I went with WorldServe International, and
Okay.
Pastor John Lindell at the time with James River had a big group. They had put in a well out there. And then Doug Pitt is like the Goodwill
Yeah.
ambassador for
Yeah.
WorldServe. And so he went on that trip, and Brad Pitt's brother, and he wanted to bike down. So the whole trip was kind of shaped around these four or five bikers. And
Yeah.
Joel, you would appreciate it. The Sherpas, I know, sorry, listeners, this is like, indulge us a moment to finish this convo, and then we'll
Insider
get back to
talk.
Father's
Yeah.
Day. But like the Sherpas were like having to carry the bikes up on their backs on top of like, yeah, it was a whole thing. So
What's
we had
wild
to.
to me is those guys, we're up there huffing and puffing. They're literally smoking a cigarette, doing it in
Right.
sandals. You
Right. And
feel
they're
like a wimp.
flip-flops.
Yes.
You have
We're
a
all in our
thousand.
nice $5,000 of gear,
I
and
was
they're
about
doing
to
it in
say that. You have
sandals.
$1,000 into gear and they're like zipping by you, with their flip-flops and no poles or anything. So
Smoking a cigarette, so yeah, it's like
one of my guides is who helped me get that final stretch when I was feeling so crummy. So they are really the heroes of that trip, to be
oh
honest. But
yeah.
yeah, I mean, it was a great experience, and I love traveling. I love getting out of your comfort zone. I'm a lot older, so like I'm more shaped by this season of like what I want to do and what sometimes I'm able to do are not the same thing. But guys, if you can get out, do it because it will change your life. It will do something different, no matter where you are. Even just in the States, Grand Canyon, different areas. Seeing, I talked a lot. We took a team to Costa Rica last year for a different water filter project. Joel, eight of those people had never been on a plane. So you still have people that just haven't really gotten out of their own
Yeah.
backyard. So anyway, I could talk about all that for a long time, but I want to talk about your book. You have a brand new book. You're the author of several books, but this one is Keep It Light. So you're talking about in this book prioritizing, which we've already kind of leaned into, like how to prioritize what really deserves your time, your money, your energies, how to develop a plan to really knowing what matters most. And that's what we talk about here is how to really make our life matter and how to balance, which is such a huge thing for men and women. It's one of the number one things I get asked in ministry is how do you balance? So let's talk about some of this. So right here at Father's Day, Joel, I'm sure you've seen men are doing so many amazing things to provide for their family, create the life maybe they didn't have, the life that they want for their family. And yet maybe they're seeing relationships suffer. I've seen the same thing for women. So talk to us about that pain point that many of us carry, and why is it that we tend to take on more than we can handle?
So this came to real life for me. This is what the whole premise of the book started with. When I do these outdoor adventures, I give people a really specific packing list. I mean, I've done Machu Picchu a dozen times at this point. I say, this is what you need, this is what you don't need. But what invariably happens is people show up with too much gear. Somebody at REI saw them coming, or an outdoor store, and is like, hey, you're gonna need all this stuff or you're gonna die on the mountain. So they end up bringing all this stuff. And what we do the night before is we do a gear weigh-in. We say, this is how much you need to lower your weight, the weight of the bag to. And man, I've seen, men, leaders of large corporations nearly reduced to tears as I'm pulling things out of their bag and saying, you're not going to need this. And they're like, but what if I do? And I think that's the essence of it. We're always worried, what if I need this? And so we just keep adding stuff to our backpack. Usually it's good stuff, right? But you don't need all of it. And I'm not just talking about packing for a trip now. I'm talking about life. I think most of us, if life is like a long hike, we're kind of like a hiker that's like, I've heard there's bears, maybe some threats in the area. So I'm going to put a rock in my bag. And they're like, but what if there's two bears? I might need. So you'd put another rock. Before you know it, you're filled with all this weight in your backpack of stuff that it's not even bad things. Bad things usually kind of glare at us. It's the good things that add up that we end up carrying too much. And you just look, we're strong. Men, most of us, we're pretty strong, right? And we're doing Father's Day. Women are strong too. I think about what my wife carries, caring for our daughter, taking care of our home, taking care of our retreat center. We've all got this, type A types, especially, we're like, I can carry a little bit more. And but when what happens is you wake up one day and you're like, man, I'm tired. I can't do this anymore. And that's when people burn out. That's when people flip out. I've seen, people fall into moral failures because they need an outlet. They're just carrying too much. And that's where Jesus comes along and he says, guys, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. And what I think he's saying there is we all have a responsibility in life that we're called to carry. Responsibility gives our life meaning. If you're trying to carry no responsibility, you're going to find yourself kind of nihilistic. That's a lot of what society has today. They've lived with no real responsibility and they're wondering what's the point of life. And responsibility gives life meaning. So we're called to carry something, and we're called to carry a good amount of weight on our shoulders, but we're called to carry it linked up with him, yoked up with him. And a lot of times we carry stuff we're not even supposed to be carrying, or we carry something that was really good for one season, but you don't need it anymore, and you need to let that go. And that's the challenge with it, is every season we kind of have to reevaluate, what do I need for this trip? It'd be like if I took the same stuff I took to climb Mount Kilimanjaro down to the jungles of Costa Rica, I'd be carrying stuff I absolutely don't need. And they're like, well, what if I need a parka? You ain't gonna need a parka. I'm sorry, you need shorts and sandals, right? But that's what happens a lot of times. We say, well, you grew up needing certain things and we carry that into our adult life. And you're like, you don't need that anymore, but the weight of that is still weighing on you. And you need to, how do you make sure the yoke is easy, the burden is light that God is calling you to carry? And it changes in every season, I think.
That's so insightful because you're really talking about this tension we hold that we have responsibility. I mean, you can go back to the Garden of Eden and they're responsible. Adam was responsible for the care of the garden. There was work even in the garden. But at the same time, we're supposed to be carrying this in a light manner. It should not be so wearying that we burn out, we rest out. What are some of the warning signs you kind of identified? You leaned into a little bit there, but when should we know, listen, we are out of balance? I know what maybe what that feels like for a woman. Even when you mentioned meaning, for example, one of the books I read for grad school was How Remarkable Women Lead. And one of the common denominators of these female high-level leaders was their vocation, their work gave them a strong sense of meaning. And so if we're kind of walking through life, we don't really have a purpose, a meaning surrounding it, but let's just assume that's present. We're doing something we love. You're talking about men that are, they're in the trenches, they're doing all the things. They're carrying a sense of responsibility. How are we aware when we've gotten a little out of balance? What are the warning signs that you would help us identify?
Well, there's one key one, all right? And some people kind of shirk at this, but I'm gonna give you some lead up to it. The first story of relational tension we ever see in the Bible is between Cain and Abel, right? And Cain, he ends up making the sacrifice. His brother sacrifices, God accepts it. Cain makes a sacrifice and God doesn't accept it. We don't know exactly why, but the bottom line is Cain finds himself getting angry and he takes out his anger on his brother. But at one point, God says to him, says, Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face fallen? If you do right, it will go well with you. If you do not do right, sin is crouching at your door, but you must rule over it. That Hebrew word sin, Greek word is hamartia, Hebrew is chata, and it's an archery term. It means you missed the target. And what I think God is saying it to Cain is he's saying, God, guy, you made a sacrifice, but it wasn't what I valued. And this is the scary thing. There are wrong sacrifices in life. You don't just get credit because you sacrificed. And if you make the wrong sacrifice, you'll often get the same results as actual sin. You'll get regret and remorse. And I see a lot of guys that are making sacrifices for their family. They're saying, I'm going to give my family everything I got never growing up. I'm going to make sure they get the Air Jordans and my kids aren't embarrassed because they don't have the cool shoes, right? That was the thing when I was growing up. But what happens is they spend so much time at work because they feel very competent at work. And then, but then they end up losing the relationship with their kids. And I can't tell you how many stories I've had of guys that are like, man, I did everything I could to give my kids what I thought they wanted, but they wanted me. And so the point is, here's my point. You notice that anger is what triggers Cain, it triggers anger. And I found that in our life, when there's anger or frustration, some people further prefer the word frustration. I don't get angry, I get frustrated. Eh, whatever. When there's anger or frustration in the people around us, that's your sign. Because anger isn't a sin. It's just a dashboard thing. It's like if a light came on your dashboard and you didn't do something about it, you'd be a fool. It's a there's a red light that came on. Something's going on under the hood. I need to look a little deeper and figure out what's causing this. And so I find that frustration or anger, not only in those around us, but also maybe in ourselves, where we're just like, I just can't seem to round the corner or get the time I need. When there's frustration or tension, that's the sign that probably something is out of balance.
That's so good because we can all identify our own emotions. I mean, sometimes we ignore them and then the red light becomes, a five alarm fire. But what you're identifying is early on when you begin to see those signs, it's kind of a check yourself before you wreck yourself situation. And sadly, without doing it then, the relationships tend to take the hit. I don't know that I've ever heard anyone, Joel, frame that you can be sacrificing, but you're going to have the same result as sin if you're sacrificing for the wrong reasons or the wrong things. I mean, that's a really powerful statement. I've heard it say good is enemy of best. Is this a good thing or a God thing in my life? Is it necessary? All of those kind of self-vetting questions. But and anger, like you just said, it's not a sin in of itself. It's just a great marker for us to know that something is wrong. And usually there's another emotion underneath that. Some expectation isn't being met, or you're carrying more than you should carry. So kind of segueing from that, what are some boundaries that you would recommend putting in place so that the red light doesn't need to come on, that we don't need to get to a place where we realize, okay, wow, I'm really in trouble here. I'm really overextended, overscheduled. My family's suffering. My kids don't want to talk to me. Those are kind of those crisis moments. How do we not get to those crisis moments, Joelle?
So boundaries are, I love the book by Henry Cloud, but I think a lot of people have used boundaries as an excuse to just cut people out of their life that they don't like, right? I define boundaries as simply this. Boundaries are prioritized love. You've only got so much of you to go around, and you've got to decide who is it that right now deserves the best of me. You even look at Jesus. Man, he served the masses, but he had 12 that he really invested in. And even in that 12, he had three that he really gave the deepest moments to. And you cannot, if you're spreading yourself out to the whole world, you're going to have nothing to give to those you love. And boundaries are basically saying there are people in my life that are the most important priority. And I'm going to make sure that unfortunately, I'm going to have to say no to some things to give my best to people. One of the exercises I talk about in the book is I actually sat down one day after I had some conflict with my wife. I realized I thought we were doing great, but I realized she felt like I was not available to her. I was always working. And I sat down and I said, what are my priorities right now? And I established really God is my first and highest priority, then my wife. And I believe that's the biblical order. God, your wife, and then my daughter. And what I did is I said, these are the most important things. And then below that was my health, because if I don't stay healthy, I'm not going to be able to work. And then was financially providing. But I realized what had been causing tension for us was a lower priority, providing financially, had been taking precedent over giving time to my wife, all because I was worried when our daughter came along, I didn't know how much a kid was going to cost. And so I was sacrificing my relationship with my wife in the name of money. And I really thought I was doing the right thing, but I was giving, I had my priorities out of line. And that's what's so tricky about it is you can really think you're doing the right thing, but again, you're making the wrong sacrifice. And that was when the tension came in with my wife. So the boundaries that I think are super important are realizing, first of all, what are your highest priorities? And I believe the biblical order, if you want to talk about making sacrifices, Jesus set the example when God set the example when he said, God so loved the world that he sacrificed or gave his only son. It's fascinating because he sacrificed his son for the bride, the church, which is fascinating because a lot of times we sacrifice our spouse for our kids, but the right order is God, our spouse, and then our kids. And God even set that example. He's God so loved the world that he sacrificed his son for the bride of Christ, his bride. It's a fascinating thing. But what also is really cool about it is oftentimes when you make the right sacrifice at the right time and what God values, he'll bring back to life the very thing you sacrificed in a more glorious form, just like he did with his son. And I've talked to so many mothers. There's an example in my book, a lady named Misty, a good friend of mine, who she really early on in her career, she was super ambitious, working for a great company. She felt like God said, set that aside and raise your kids. And she even felt like she was supposed to homeschool them, which that's not a calling everyone has, but she felt that. And she did it. And it's crazy because after her last kid left the house, God reignited that dream in her. And I literally watched him launch her to the national stage over about 2 or 3 years, because I believe she made the right sacrifice way back there. And at the right time, God resurrected the dream and he brought it back to life in a more glorious form. But she made the right sacrifice, prioritizing who needs my love the most right now. And as kids come along early on, those first 5 years, psychologically, those first 5 years are just imperative. And
Absolutely.
it, you've got, So, I mean, there's a lot in there, but that's my point is you really need to figure out what's your greatest values, and then how do you make sure that you're protecting to give your best resources of time, money, and energy to those who deserve it most because they're your direct area of influence.
That's just it's so there's so much wisdom in that. When we talk about making our lives matter, you're not going to make your life matter when you're spread so thin. But what you're giving is real language around maybe even understanding motivation of is it like you said, I got a little afraid. Am I going to have enough money here? And so fear can be a powerful motivator. Pride is a powerful motivator. We kind of have to understand like what's driving this to where the main thing or not the main thing. One of the books I read in grad school was I think Peter Scazzaro, The Emotionally Healthy Leader. And he identified like his kind of like breaking point, you know, where everything in his life was kind of in a crisis. And his priorities were disordered. That was the big thing that he had to go back through. And he was leading from his marriage. And at that point, it was the transition he made was to lead from a healthy marriage. And I think if we can make that shift in our culture and as fathers, as men, I mean, what a difference we would see. Marriage is not easy. And maybe you're listening and you're not married, but this conversation still applies. The idea of priorities, they change from season to season. I talk to young women, for example, Joel, that want to maybe they want to write a book. And I didn't author my first book till I was 50. You know, I raised my kids. We were in the ministry full time. I didn't homeschool, but I was very present. I played for all my daughter's shows. I'm a musician. Those were just the choices we made. We had been raised in the ministry. Our fathers were both pastors. And my husband had a wonderful family, but a different experience where his dad put the church really ahead of the family and the building projects. And so even good things, I'm putting that in air quotes if you're listening, of ministry, of church, of that's what we're saying. Good things can still end up being the wrong sacrifice. And we can make a whole lot of justification for it in the moment, but if we had to really be honest, is our own health suffering, are our relationships suffering? Am I angry? These kind of self discovery questions that you're offering us today.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to dig into the book. It just came out. It's not just for men. Keep it light. It's for anyone, especially if you're a leader. How many leaders just carry so much responsibility, Joel? And so many are sadly crumbling under the weight of that. So I have a couple last questions, but how can people get a copy of the brand new book? How they can connect with you? You mentioned a retreat center. You still do some of these leadership events.
Yeah.
How would you like people to know all about you in the book?
So, joelmalm.com, joelmalm.com has all that stuff. I've got a bunch of YouVersion devotionals I've written. I actually have the most popular one I've ever written was one about anger, interestingly enough. It's got hundreds of thousands of people that have downloaded that
Wow.
one. So YouVersion, if you just type my name in there and YouVersion Bible app, I've got the books are available anywhere books are sold, you know, and
sure.
Barnes and Noble, Amazon, wherever you get your books. And I also have a podcast with my dad, Talking for Dads. My dad is probably the man who's most like Jesus that I have ever known. So
Oh.
we spend our conversations, me talking to him about stuff I learned from him growing up, stuff I'm dealing with now, kind of how to navigate it with, you know, raising my own child. So that's called The Malm Podcast. Super original, right? MALM Podcast.
If it
It's
ain't broke,
anywhere.
don't fix it, right?
Yeah, that's right. Anywhere podcasts are found. He's a malm, I'm a malm. So I thought it'd be make sense, right? So yeah, any of those places you can get our podcasts. They're also on YouTube. I just started a YouTube channel recently and I'm trying to build that. So go watch it on YouTube, actually, and subscribe. Yeah.
Yeah, the website is great. And I'm going to include that because the spelling of his name is a little bit different, guys. So make sure that you check out the show notes. I've got it there. I got to shout out my own dad, Joel. I love that because my dad and I co-authored a book together. So my most recent book is
Really?
called Brave Enough to Believe. And it's on the life of Doubting Thomas, how the life of Doubting Thomas answers our hard questions. And my father and I, he's 81 now, and we co-wrote that book together over Google Docs and FaceTime phone calls. And I remember early on, maybe you get a kick out of this, we were, you know, working on a document. We were using shared Google Docs, which is a little unnerving because, you know, if someone like deletes something or messes it up, you've lost a whole section. And I remember him yelling once to my mom saying, "Hey, you got to come see this. I can see her cursor and my cursor in the document at the same time." So it's like this like mind-blowing technology that is Google Docs. But what a gift that has been to write that book with him. And we've ministered together and now it's out in Spanish and
Awesome.
we'll be leading some ministry together in Central America. I'm taking him to Central America, Honduras and El Salvador. And we have a church plant in El Salvador. Then we'll be hopping over to Honduras. So as long as we can see the adventures continue, Joel, right? And even in his
Indeed.
season of his life, he thought he was retired and God pulled him out of retirement. And this is here's this legacy piece that the Lord has allowed him to have. And so anyway, I love that. Anytime I hear, you know, father, son, mother, daughter, I just love those kind. And I believe in honoring the previous generation. There's so much wisdom and that they have to give and just having those kind of conversations. He's my go-to of talking through theology or the hard stuff of life. And my father-in-law has passed away a decade ago, but we're so grateful for that. So dads, we love you. We appreciate you. We thank you for all that you're giving and sacrificing. But now that you've heard this conversation, let's be sacrificing, right? The right things in the right season. What a great word for all of us today, Joel. And I'm going to pray for us in just a moment, especially lift our dads up. But I like to close with one last question. And that is, other than Jesus, who is that person in the Bible? You're inspiring so many people, Joel, especially leaders, to just really make their life matter. But who's that person in the Bible that has inspired you to make your life matter?
Hands down, my favorite book of the Bible is Ecclesiastes. So you can guess who
Wow.
my favorite author or who my favorite guy in the Bible is. Besides Jesus, I'd have to say it's King Solomon.
Okay.
I don't think Ecclesiastes is a book of despair. I think it's a book of stark reality. Just what does it profit a man? Like if you're just get, you know, what am I toiling for? But yet God, he's making everything beautiful in his time. I love that. In fact, every Wednesday I do a little Instagram post on a little snippet from Ecclesiastes. I call it Wednesday with them. He's my favorite. My two driving forces in life are this. I want to be all about wisdom and perspective. And I think wisdom is helping people stop unnecessary suffering in our life through using God's wisdom. And perspective is find meaning in the necessary suffering. There's just, as much as I don't like it, in Acts, it says, through much suffering, we enter the kingdom of God. I wish that wasn't in there. I wish it said, through much Krispy Kreme, we enter. But through suffering, we come to, we're transformed through it. The only things that transform us are experiences of great love and experience of great suffering. And so I want to help people find meaning in that necessary suffering. And I just think King Solomon does an outstanding job of that. So he's my guy.
I love that. No one has ever said Ecclesiastes. So I love the, and I love why my son's maybe one of his favorite people is Solomon. So he's going to love hearing that answer. He's 24 and is a very deep thinker. And so he loves his work, but I love how you framed that. Like, what does it matter if we've got everything and we miss the main things, we miss what's really truly important. And that's, we have to know God's heart to know that. There's one last little thought that I want to share before I close this out in prayer. It came to me a second ago and I wasn't sure if I was going to say it, but when I climbed Kilimanjaro, Joel, I mentioned that guide, Sam McCullough, who helped me at the very end. He noticed I was struggling and I was like dumping my water out of my pack. And so, you know, that's like a big no-no. And so when you're just feeling so low that, again, keeping it light, I didn't want to carry anything else at that point. I was like looking at where I still had to go that last day before we were at base camp for summit. And I was like, I am not going to make it. Like, I am just so done. And so when you're, you know, back to this original analogy of what are we carrying that we shouldn't be carrying? I was literally dumping my water out just to try to lighten my pack. And he came over and he got in front of me and he said, listen, I don't want you to look up where you're going. I want you to look at my feet. I'm going to get in front of you and I want you to follow my pace. And every time I step right, you're going to step right. And when I step left, you're going to step left. And literally that is how I made it up that mountain. I've written about that. I've talked about it. But it reminded me when you were talking earlier, that story came back to my heart. And the first day that we set out, all the gung-ho overachievers were in the front of the pack and they're getting in front of the pace setter. And even, you know, the pace setters, these Sherpas, they kind of shrug like, yeah, give them 48 hours. And they're going to see that there's a reason there's a pace setter. There's a reason he's out in front because he's the one setting the pace for us. And I just think what you're identifying as wisdom is, you got to let God set the pace of your life, the balance of it, the priorities of it. If you're trying to lead and you're out in front, it is not sustainable. You can do that for a sprint, but you're not going to make it. You're not going to summit. You're not going to end well and have longevity. You're going to sadly kind of do all the things we've talked about, derailing in different areas. So that just story came back to me today, letting God be our pace setter. Sometimes we don't know what else to do except just if he steps right, step left. And when I didn't summit, I was so heartbroken. We're like, you know, midnight, they're getting up and finishing and we are going down. It was just one of the worst, you know, moments. You train and you're doing all this. And he had us turn around and turn our headlamps off. And here's this night sky with stars for, you know, as far as the eye could see. And we looked up and there behind us was a little trail of headlights. And it was our team making the summit in the middle of the night. And I just got that kind of sad feeling in my stomach, but I'll never forget it. And then I had my own moment with the Lord while they were still finishing their summit. And that's when he led me about that pace setter. And Galatians says, now that we're led by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. And so I think leaning into his pace and letting him give us our priorities, lead us rather than us trying. We're leading, and a lot you deal with leaders. So they're out in front typically, but ultimately you're not the pace setter. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit, God is the pace setter, and you got to let him lead the pace, and it'll change in season. It's slower, it's faster, it's this or that, but that's how you're going to do everything he's called you to do. And that's how you're going to end well and honor the people and the assignments the Lord has given you in every season. So anyway, I don't always say that a little, my own little story, but I couldn't kind of resist feeling like I've been there. I get it. I'm sad I didn't summit, but Joel, I would have missed that insight. And that meant more to me than if I had just gotten that picture at the top with the sign, because the Lord gave me a life lesson.
Yeah.
You're not going to do this if you're still setting the pace. You let me set the pace in your life, it's going to be an extraordinary life with God, but he knows best. And when he tells us to slow down, he's doing it for a reason. When he tells us to speed up, he's doing it for a reason. We have to trust what he's telling us. So, any last thoughts on that before I pray?
Yeah, I mean, two things. One is, with that yoke analogy, if you're carrying a yoke with Jesus and you start running ahead, you're going to carry way more weight than you're supposed to. He's like, hey, we're going to share this here. Second thing, the first time I climbed Kilimanjaro, I got altitude sickness at 16,000 and I had to go down the hill.
Same exact spot.
It was devastating. I think it was very important in what I learned. I would probably say I learned more from the failure than from the success. The next time I went, I actually have this handy. I actually went with my buddy Bob Goff, and we made it to the top. There's the picture of us
Oh,
at the
come on.
top.
There's the picture I'm mentioning.
Yeah, so second time was the charm for me. So my point is this: you might get another chance, and I'll tell you this: who you do the hike with makes a lot of difference. The
That's so
first time I
true.
went with a bunch of overachieving type A driving types, they're like, "We're gonna conquer this thing," and I was in the best shape of my life. But best shape of your life means nothing if you don't stay hydrated, if you don't stay pace, because the mountain will do what the mountain's going to do. And
100%.
the second time I went in with a lot of fear and trembling, I was very humble.
Little more
I was
respect for
like,
the mountain.
we're going to go really slow. We're going to do this thing. And of course, you have Bob Goff with you, encouraging you all the way. We're all encouraging each other. And, we didn't have any of that with our team. I think we were kind of competing with each other. This second time I went, it was just pure encouragement all the way up, and we all made it to that top. So, you're right on track with that. I mean, it's so much you can learn from mountain climbing.
I agree. And I mean, that's a whole other conversation, but what a beautiful example of, like, I'm still finishing my last project for my master's, and it's on a passage from Paul about living, carrying our call in community. That we're not supposed to be carrying our call alone,
Yeah.
and all the people that were part of his team, and the difference you just described in two different teams, one who's kind of competing and got to get to the top first, and I've seen the fallout of that, or we're going to encourage each other. We're doing this together. We're doing it in humility, and we're doing it for a different maybe motivation. You're still doing it in a community, but they're very different style of community. So, obviously, guys, you can hear the wisdom in everything that he says and the way that he shapes things. And I love extracting life lessons, practical spiritual lessons out of practical, even mundane moments, Joel. So we're cut out of the same cloth when it comes to that. I really appreciate your insight, your wisdom today. And I'm just going to pray for our listeners. Dads, again, thank you. Go get the book, guys. Keep it light. Life is hard enough. So let's follow Jesus' pace, stay yoked the way he wants us to. And Joel, we just pray you all the blessing over this book. I just
Thank
pray it's
you.
amazing. And over your wife, your daughter, thanks for all you're doing. And I'll pray us out. Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for this conversation. Thank you for being our pace setter in life. Help us to just continue not only to check our motivations and our heart, but our priorities, any areas that we have disordered. Even God, we're working really hard to do what we think are the right things, but maybe they're not the God things. Maybe they're not the things you want us to focus on in this season. So I pray that we leave this conversation not in any way feeling condemned, but if you've brought any conviction into an area of our life, you want what's best for us. You want us to finish well. You want us to pace ourselves well. You want our relationships to flourish. And so I just thank you for loving us enough to give us boundaries, putting healthy parameters in place for us to live this one life that you've given us well. We bless Joel. We bless his ministry, all that you're doing to use him to sow into the life of so many others, and help us just continue to walk in wisdom and to hear you well. We thank you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining the conversation. If you've been inspired to make life matter, share a review and subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. Connect with me at angeladonatio.com, Facebook at Angela Donatio VOV, and Instagram at Angela Donatio. Until next week, let's make life matter.